Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our weekly shiur at the Young Israel of Woodmere. A chodesh tov to all. So, Erev Shabbos, chodesh tov, moving into the spring season, Tu B'Shvat is coming. This shiur is sponsored generously by Henny and Shimon Wolf, L'zecher Nishmas Malka, Bas Eliyahu Moshe, Allah HaShalom, whose yahrzeit is today. Rosh Chodesh, may her neshama have an aliyah, and the merit of our Torah, Henny, we thank you very, very much. And she should be a militza yoshar for your whole family, for besuras tovos, and only simchas, and continued nachas from your amazing children, and Baz Hashem, your grandchildren, and a lot of nachas from all, and her neshama, Malka, Bas Eliyahu Moshe, should have an aliyah neshama in the source of the Torah that we share this morning. Amen. So I was going to speak about the parasha, and then when I realized that today is actually Rosh Chodesh, I decided in Yanei Diyoma it would be very nice to talk about insights into Rosh Chodesh, particularly because not only is today Rosh Chodesh, but Rosh Chodesh is very much linked to the story of Shibud Mitzrayim and Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it is also related to the Parshios that we are journeying through. The book of Shemos, you have Shemos, Va'era, Bo, and Beshalach. And these together, these four parashios, are the stories of Shibud Mitzrayim and Yetzias Mitzrayim. And Yetzias Mitzrayim and Rosh Chodesh are linked together very strongly. So I would like to speak today about the concept of Rosh Chodesh and time. I will be quoting the Pasuk inside. Of course, it is the first national mitzvah, the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. And it was given to Moshe and Aaron, I'm just being where I want to be, it was given to Moshe and Aaron while we were still in Egypt. So this week's parasha, by the way, I usually start by thanking everybody. So it's giving me nachas to see, I think you could see behind the mask when someone's smiling. My daughter did a program this past Monday night with special needs children, and the little girl that she took, she said she was wearing a mask the whole time, she said, but I could see she was smiling. She loved it. So I see that Kanainahar, the in-person attendance is growing. So Baruch Hashem, I'm having nachas, and of course everyone who's joining us on Zoom as well. So in Parashat Shmos, we read about the Shibud Mitzrayim, we read about the birth of Moshe. We learn that the work gets harder when Moshe says to free the Jews. Paro says, not only am I not freeing the Jews, but now they're not getting straw for the quota of bricks. And Moshe wonders why God sent him. And this week's parasha is Parashas Va'era. It begins with the Arba Lashonus of Geula. But when Moshe goes to speak to the people and tell them about the redemption, they can't even listen to him because they are steeped in the slave mentality. And it's so difficult for them to even hear what Moshe is saying. And this week's parasha, the first seven makos unfold. We have the beginning of the decimation and destruction of Egypt. So these parashios are very much the story also of Pesach and Leil HaSeder. We have Dam, Tzfardeya, Kinim, Arov, wild animals, Dever, Shechin, and Barad in this week's parasha. Next week is Parshas Bo. And next week we will have the final three makos, the Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Parshas Beshalach, Shvi Yishal Pesach, and Kriyas Yamsu. So Rosh Chodesh is something that I think comes every month, so I think we sort of tend to take it for granted, and we don't often stop enough to appreciate the gift that Rosh Chodesh gives us, which is really the most precious gift there is, and that is time, and something that we seem to never have enough of. In our frenetic society, fast-paced living, we always seem to be scrounging around and looking for more time. So I'm going to begin with a story that I really love, as told over in the biography of Rav Yosef Tendler. He was the Menaha on Neri Yisrael Baltimore. He was actually our Masada Kedushin. My husband was a Talmud in Neri Yisrael Baltimore. Rabbi Tendler came to Toronto to marry us. And this story is told over in the book called I Am Your Servant. There was once a businessman who was sitting by the beach in a small Brazilian village. As he sat, he saw, you know, everything's so relative, I'm sorry to interrupt myself. Before COVID, this room, Kanainahar, was packed. Now I feel like there's so many people here in person, I can't believe it, I'm so happy, Baruch Hashem. Wow, shows you how everything is perspective. Let's start again. There was once a businessman who was sitting by a beach in a small Brazilian village. As he sat, he saw a Brazilian fisherman rowing a small boat towards the shore, having caught quite a few big fish. The businessman was impressed, and he asked the fisherman, "How long does it take you to catch so many fish?" The fisherman replied, "Oh, just a short while." The businessman was astonished, and then he said, "Why don't you stay longer at sea and catch even more fish? This is enough to feed my whole family," the fisherman said. The businessman said, "So what do you do for the rest of the day?" The fisherman replied, "Well, I usually wake up early in the morning. I go out to sea, I catch a few fish, and I come back. I play with my kids. In the afternoon, I take a nap. When evening comes, I join my buddies in the village." The businessman offered a suggestion to the fisherman. "I am a PhD in business management. I could help you to become a more successful person. From now on, you should spend more time at sea. You should try to catch as many fish as possible. When you have saved enough money, you could buy a bigger boat. You will be able to catch even more fish. Soon you could buy more boats, set up your own company, your own production plant for canned food, and a distribution network. By then you will have moved out of the village to Sao Paulo, S-A-O-P-A-U-L-O, where you can manage headquarters and set up other branches." The fisherman listened and he said, "And then what?" The businessman laughed heartily. "After that, you can live like a king in your own house. And when the time is right, you could go public and float your shares on the stock exchange. And then you will be rich." The fisherman said, "And after that?" The businessman said, "After that, you can finally retire. You can move to a house by a fishing village. You can wake up early in the morning, catch a few fish, and you'll return home. You'll play with your kids. You'll have a nice afternoon nap. And when evening comes, you can join your buddies for a drink. You'll play the guitar. You'll sing and dance through the night." The fisherman looked at the businessman with a puzzled look on his face. And he said, "Isn't that what I am already doing now? It has such a strong Mr. Haskell. It's not just a story." The nimshal is to all of us that sometimes we spend so much time chasing things in life without stopping to enjoy, to live in the moment, to appreciate that this fraction of a second, 9:38 a.m., will never be returned to us. And what are we doing with our time? What are we running after in life? What are we chasing? I read it in Mishpacha a couple of years ago, and I've quoted it before, and I'm sure you've heard me say it. And I think it to myself often. How do children spell love? If the only thing you take away from this year is this, then it's Kedai. How do children spell love? T-I-M-E. How do children spell love? T-I-M-E. You know, I teach almost every night, Baruch Hashem. Besides for every day, Baruch Hashem. Tuesday's my open night. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, I have Kavua guest lectures. I have Kavua weekly shiurim. Very often Tuesday night's booked. So Baruch Hashem. And so we've started to play Boggle at nights. A couple of the kids and I. It's become like a pattern. I have to tell you, I'm tired at the end of the day. Taking care of the house, Baruch Hashem. There's a purpose, I'm telling you this. And then I'm teaching, and obviously sheer preparation. That's the most precious time of the day. And you sit down, and it's become a routine and a schedule. Yesterday, I had two shiurim last night. So between the two, one was for Baltimore, Zoom. And then one was my Kavua shiur. And between the two shiurim, we had time for two rounds. And then after the second shiur, we played again. And yes, we're tired. And we're all busy. I'm not telling you how busy I am. Everyone is busy. Life is so busy. We're like running on the wheel, constantly running. There's always somewhere you have to go, somewhere you have to be, somewhere you have to do. The Brazilian fisherman said, "What am I doing now? I'm going to go into the rat race for what? To go back to where I am?" And we just have to have a perspective on what we're working for, on what the purpose is, on who, capital W, put us here, on what he wants from us, on what's secondary and what's primary, not in that order. I should say what's primary, what's secondary. And while we're so busy to keep the focus, Rav Pam Zatzal used to say, there's no loss like the loss of time. Time is life. And Rav Moshe Feinstein used to say, in America, there's a popular expression, I've got plenty of time. I wish they could donate some to me since I seem to never have enough. The first national mitzvah given to us in Mitzrayim, while we were still there before redemption, the people are slaves and they're broken in body and they're broken in spirit. And it's a difficult time. That's an understatement. Infanticide, slave labor, demeaning. Paro is shechting Jewish babies, Rashi to 2:23, and bathing in their blood. If we didn't have the Holocaust, maybe it would be hard to imagine that. But they made lampshades and soap, Rachmano Leslan, from our people. So Paro was not so different. Nitzareya, v'haya shochei tino ko Yisrael v'rochetz b'damam. And into this picture, God sends the Redeemer. I'll take you out from under the tolerance, from tolerating Egypt. Rabbi Pesach Krohn brings that down in his Haggadah, and I heard Rabbi Shai Shachter say the same thing in the name of Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, two different sources. I saw the same word. The beginning of our parasha, the first lashon of Geula. Sivlot can also mean tolerance. We began to tolerate life there. We just got used to it. This is how it was. This is how it will always be. We became complacent to the fact that maybe there would never be change. And it was so hard to imagine that the Redeemer was actually there. And then we have the Makos, and they begin to unfold. And we're on the cusp of freedom. Until now we're a slave people, a slave mentality, body and spirit. And now Hashem comes with the first mitzvah. And if you had to make the first natural mitzvah for Am Yisrael, maybe it would be Shabbos. Rav Soloveitchik says about Shabbos, we have survived 2,000 years without the temple. We would not have survived 1 week without Shabbos. Maybe it would be Taharas HaMishpacha. Maybe Yom Kippurim. No, because none of those have any significance if you don't own time. If you're a slave, you can't keep Shabbos if you're Meshubat a master. Vayomer Shem el Moshe v'el Aaron be'eretz Mitzrayim lemor. This is next week's parasha, Parshas Bo, Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Aleph. And God spoke to Moshe and Aaron while they were still in the land of Egypt. We are now going to be distinguished and free. And what denotes our freedom? Before the Korban Pesach, before V'higad Tel Abincha, before before you get ready to march out, Hashem says, I have a matana. Think of the power of renewal. Today is the beginning of the month. On the secular calendar, it's just another day. And on our calendar, it's ripe with potential for renewal. It's not an accident that Chodesh, month, is the same word as Chadash, new. Because it's a new opportunity every month to remake yourself, recreate yourself, make up for lost opportunities. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, this month is for you. Rosh Chodashim, and Rashi says we're talking about Chodesh Nisan, the first of the months. Rishon Hu Lachem, the Chod Shei Hashana, the Torah counts the months from Nisan. Rashi says Moshe wasn't sure when to sanctify the month, and Hashem pointed, so to speak, took him outside, and he said, when the moon looks like this, that's Rosh Chodesh. And the moon is so small, and it starts to grow, that represents our journey. And time, besides for being so precious, is so fleeting. It's 6 weeks to Purim. We remember vividly Purim last year. And with all the craziness of the world this year, and it has been crazy, the year has gone by. Rachmana Litzlan, There are so many with the COVID pandemic who are not here again to celebrate again. And we have to ask ourselves, what did we do this past year? What did we accomplish this past year? Have we changed? Have we renewed ourselves with the gift of time? The Chafetz Chaim used to say, life is like a postcard. You start to write, and you think you have all the space in the world. So you write big, and you leave a lot of space between the words and the letters. After all, there's a whole postcard to fill in. And then you start to get closer to the end, and you realize there's not as much room as you thought. So you start to squeeze in the words, your ideas, your thoughts, your feelings, your longings, in a mad dash to get it all in before the finish line. Sometimes you find you don't have enough room for the most important sentiments. Sometimes you don't even have enough room to sign your name. We have to make sure. It's a mussar for Michal Horowitz. If you want to take it also, you can. That we're using the time as best that we can. The hours, the days, the weeks, the months that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us. There's nothing that signifies freedom more than time. God knows what he's doing. He could have given us a different mitzvah. Korban Pesach could have come first. In fact, right after Rishon Hu Lacham L'Chol Tshei Shana, the Pasuk immediately says, Pasuk Gimel, Dabru, so it's really Parshas Bo, but it's next week, but today is Rosh Chodesh, and it's related to Inyanei Diyom and the Parshios. Dabru El Kol Adas Yisrael, speaks to the entire assembly of Israel, Lamor, saying, Ba'asra L'Chodesh Hazak, on the 10th of this month, that year they took the sale on the 10th of the month, each man should take for his household, sorry, a lamb, each man for a lamb for his father's house. If there's too few people, gather with your neighbor, Korban Pesach comes immediately after. But Yetzias Mitzrayim didn't begin with the symbolism, with the act of Korban Pesach. It began with HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Hashem didn't just say, Nisan is the first, it's for you. Because a slave doesn't own his time. I don't know that this is such a chiddush. I don't know that it's something you never heard before. But I know that we all need the reminder, myself as well. And I think of that phrase often. How do children spell love? T-I-M-E. And it's not only children. It's spouses. It's parents. It's siblings. It's close friends. While we're so busy catching fish on the ocean, we have to make sure we come home and have time for everything else in life. I want to quote an extremely, extremely powerful piece by Rav Soloveitchik. I'm sure the shir is dedicated by Henny, Henny Wolf, in memory of her mother, Henny and Shimon Wolf. What was that? Nothing? Did you hear something? And somehow as I get older, no matter how old I hear a person is when they pass away, and maybe Shem Shana, I always say, oh, that's so young. Because really, how fast does life go? We don't cherish the moments now. One of my children, Kanayin Har, is very, very busy right now. And one of their grandparents said, I haven't spoken to that child for a month. I said to that child, you need to call that grandparent. That child said, I don't have time. I haven't spoken to anybody for a month. I said, you need to make the time. Because none of us live forever. And love is spelled T-I-M-E. It's extremely powerful. Oh, there's a post. Someone has a question. I think I've heard that also. That's very nice. Thank you. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky used to give his grandchildren watches for their bar and bat mitzvahs to teach them the importance of time. I think they heard that as well. Thank you. Let's go to this piece by Rav Soloveitchik. I'm quoting from Chumash Masoros HaRav. If you don't have, I recommend it. There's all five. of the Chumash Chumshei Torah. It's the OU Press, Chumash with Rashi and Unklus, and commentary of Rav Soloveitchik. Let's go through this together. The Rav says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. This month is to you the first of the months. The first commandment they were given in Egypt, which signaled the commencement of their liberation, was to mark time. A slave is relieved of mitzvos ase shehazman grama. A slave, like a woman, is relieved. I don't mean that in a derogatory term. Halachically, please don't attack me. A slave is relieved of mitzvos ase shehazman grama, of time-bound positive commandments. Just a note on that. Because women are also relieved of mitzvos ase shehazman grama, but I have heard Avashai Shachter say on a number of occasions that people think women are pater from like tens of mitzvos, hundreds of mitzvos. I've heard Avashai Shachter say, how many are there? I think six or seven, he has said. There's only like a handful, up to two handfuls, of mitzvos ase shehazman grama. So we shouldn't all think that we're pater from so many commandments. It's not true. Just because I mentioned that and then I said like women and I didn't mean anything, God forbid, derogatory. A slave is relieved of mitzvos ase shehazman grama, time-bound positive commandments. Why? So in a woman's case, generally, she is osik b'mitzvah, chenoch gidol banim, playing ball, I'm just joking. So it's hard to find the time sometimes, really, to be involved in time-bound mitzvahs for a woman because her life revolves around the home and the raising of the children. But what about a slave? Why is he relieved from time-bound positive mitzvos? Because, quote, the slave, avadim hayinu the par b'mitzrayim, lacks time experience. It's not something he could relate to. I once read in a Holocaust memoir, the survivor wrote, the only thing we lived for was to live another day. There was no meaning in the experience. There was no purpose. A Gehenna on earth, and a person doesn't own their time. The slave lacks the time experience. Quote, to the slave, time is a curse. He only waits for the day to pass. We wake up and say, what am I going to do today? What can I accomplish today? Don't you marvel every Thursday? I literally do. Where did the week go and how could it be Erev Shabbos again? I'm not exaggerating, but every week I think, how could Monday morning I think I have a whole week? And Thursday I thought, where did it go? But the slave, to him, time is a curse. So there's 116 years of Shibun Mitzrayim. We were in Egypt for 210 years and enslaved for 116. Time is meaningless. Time is a curse. He waits only for today to pass. Why? Because the slave's time is property of his master. I once heard Rabbi Zachariah Wallerstein say many years ago, I heard him give a shiur, and he said the slave can only say one word, and that is yes. Yes, master. He has no time and he has no voice. Whatever the master wants, the slave has to do. I don't remember anything else he spoke about, but I remember that in the shiur, and it's powerful. No matter how hard he may try to be productive in time, the slave will not reap the harvest of his work. Therefore, he is insensitive to time. Who will reap the harvest of the slave's work? The master. When the Jews were working in the field, when they were building Pisum and Ramses, storage cities, Ari Miskonos, the Paro. Who reaped the harvest of their work? The master. So you're not motivated to produce in time, because you won't reap any of the benefits for yourself. So for the slave, the sense of movement of time. I just want to close the chat. So for the slave, where am I up to? The movement of time, the passing of hours, days, weeks, is very dull. For us, there's so much potential and excitement in time. Life to the slave personality is motionless. He lacks the great excitement of opportunities knocking at his door, of challenges summoning him to action, of tense expectation and even fear of failure. I'm going to repeat that sentence. For the slave, he lacks the great excitement of opportunities knocking on his door. He lacks challenges which summon him to action. These are all experiences that make life so rich, the opportunities we look forward to. Yes, even the challenges that summon us to action. He even lacks tense expectation and fear of failure. Because any faith which is inseparably bound up with time is inapplicable to him. Because his time is not his own. And this was the experience of Mitzrayim, Bein HaMitzarim, between the narrow places, between the straits. When our nation was founded in the crucible of Egypt, when we did not have time, so God comes and he says, before you become to me, the fourth lashon of Gula, before I come to Har Sinai, you determine Rosh Chodesh. When the Edom would go to the Sanhedrin, and they would give testimony in two different rooms that they saw the new moon. That's when it's Rosh Chodesh. Who determines the month? Us. This time awareness or experience, says Rav Soloveitchik, has three basic components. There are three basic components to time awareness or time experience. First, retrospection. What we call in simple language, the past. Retrospection. Without memory, there is no time. If we think, Rahmana Litzlan, of a person who at the end of their life, their mind becomes ill, what is called medically dementia, Hashem Yishmer Aleinu, there is no time awareness, because one needs memory to experience and live through time. So the first aspect of time, says Rav Soloveitchik, is retrospection. Without memory, there's no frame of reference for time. And that's exactly what we do at Leil HaSeder. We sit down at the table and we relive the past. It is an integral part. It's so hot in here. Is it hot in here? Of our time experience. B'chol dor v'dor chayiv adam l'ros says, Asmo kilu hu yatzam im Mitzrayim. I was there. So I recall, I relive, I retell. Second, the exploration or close examination of things yet unborn. What do we call that? The future. Is that what you said? And the anticipatory experience of events not yet in being. We wait, we're excited. We count down till something exciting is happening. We mark time of the past. We mark time going forward. Retrospection, anticipatory feelings of anticipatory experience of events not yet in being. And third, appreciation or evaluation of the present moment as one's most precious possession. That is a quote. The appreciation or evaluation of the present moment as one's most precious possession. Right now, right here, at this exact moment. Yes, we remember what was, we anticipate what will be, but we must live appreciating right now. No one, says Rav Soloveitchik, is worthy of time awareness if retrospection is alien to him. On Shabbos, on Friday night after the meal, we were looking at old pictures. The kids took out old pictures. Today, my mother says she doesn't have old pictures. Everything's on the phone. She doesn't have pictures. Everything's on the phone. There's no hard copies. And we were looking at pictures, and it reminds you. It jogs your memory. Look how things were. Look how they were back then. Look how we looked. Look what we wore. Look how young we were. No one is worthy of time awareness if retrospection is alien to him. which is obviously why Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim is an integral part of the experience of Pesach. Retrospection. We must be capable of reliving. We must be capable of reliving, recovering, and reproducing past events, because our people, as a nation, is a people very, very much rooted in the past. Oft quoted from Ha'azinu, Sha'ala Vicha V'yagedcha, Zekeinecha V'yamilch. I said to that child, you must call that grandparent. We must be capable of reliving, recovering, and reproducing our past experiences. Memory, says Rav Soloveitchik, is not just the storehouse for latent impressions. There is living memory. And that's what we are meant to reproduce and recreate on Leil HaSeder. Not just latent impressions, it's living memory, which reproduces and re-experiences the past. And that's how we could be commanded, Lirot et atzmo, kilu yatsa mimitzrayim. Because if you can relive, recreate, reproduce the past, then you are actually there. And if you were there, you can pass that on to somebody else. Past events, which are not re-experienced, belong not to history, but to archaeology. Past events which are not re-experienced are not history, they're archaeology. So you go to the site, you go to the dig, and you see how beautiful. There's so many archaeological sites in Eretz Yisrael, they're amazing. But they belong to archaeology, not living history. Because if you were there, if you personally experienced it, you want to retell it. You want someone to hear your story. Indeed, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, says Rav Soloveitchik, does not exhaust itself in a historical review of bygone events that have vanished completely. When we learn these parashos of Shmos, Ve'eram, Bo, and Beshalach, first four parashos in Shmos, the Sefer HaGeulah, through Kriyas Yamsuf and Melchamas Amalek, which is how Beshalach ends, we're not just reading a history book of something happened back then. We are meant to relive this experience in every generation if we're aware of time. Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim is much more than that. It is a drama charged with emotion and tenseness of participating in the past. We don't believe in our religion that the present and only the future count. We must look back. We have Holocaust studies. We have Holocaust memoirs. We have so many relics from the past that we bring alive, even when we learn Torah Shabbat Peh. The Tanaim and Amoraim are with us today, because in order to have time awareness, we must relive the experiences of Am Yisrael that came before us. Rabbi Akiva, says Rav Soloveitchik, is not just a figure who lived so many hundreds of years ago. Says the Rav, quote, he is a part of my life, and his image and teachings are integrated into my personality. It's hard to pass this on to children, I think, especially in the day and age in which we live, where there's so much eye focus on the here and now. It's hard to pass on and transmit to our children the importance of what came before us. And I think of Rabbi Akiva, Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Yoshua, the Rambam. I am not thinking of people who lived in antiquity or in the Middle Ages. Those images are part and parcel of my eye awareness. So even as we're aware of our eye, it includes all the generations, going back to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the Imahu. That's the first aspect of time awareness, which is why the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh was given us still in Mitzrayim, and we relive the Egyptian enslavement and freedom. On the other hand, says Rav Soloveitchik, to live in time and feel its rhythm, well, it's very deep. It's so beautiful. It's such a challenge. And on the other hand, it's such a privilege. On the other hand, we cannot only live in the past, obviously. To live in time, to feel its rhythm, you must move from memory of the past to the unreality of the future. Thank you. Thank you. On the other hand, we must move from memory of the past to the unreality of the future. Why unreality? Because the future is not the reality yet. I'm anticipating, I'm waiting for something, but it's still of yet an unreality. One must go from things and events that were and are no longer to that which will be real someday, even though it is not yet real. We must go from reminiscing to anticipating. And that too is embedded into Leil HaSeder and the experience of Pesach. Because while we relive the past, we have the Kol Shel Eliyahu, Shvoch HaMaschal, Agoy Meshal Yaducha, V'amamlachos HaShalor Koru B'Shemecha. And we look towards the future redemption. That's one of the reasons that Hallel is broken up. Part of it is said by Magid as part of the Seder, and the rest is said after. The first part of Hallel relates to the past events. Thank you, God, for Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is in my Lord, the Rav speaks about this elsewhere. Thank you for what was. And the Hallel after the meal, after the Suda, after Shulchan Aruch, is for what will be. And how do we end the Seder? L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim. Because the Seder night encompasses all three dimensions of time. You relive the past. You don't tell the past on the El Seder. You don't tell it. You relive it. I was there. You re-experience it. You reenact it. Otherwise, it's archaeology. And our people are not a dead people given to relics of stone and mosaics that have been uncovered in a desert or in a town. We relive the past on Leil HaSeder. But then we conclude Hallel. V'nomer lefanav shira chadasha. For the future, we'll sing a new song. And we end with the Shana Haba b'Yerushalayim. Because at the same time, to paraphrase the Rav, that we go from reminiscing at that same Leil HaSeder, we move towards anticipating. To live in time means to be committed to a great past and to an unborn future. And yet, on Leil HaSeder, we do not only remember the past and relive it as living memory, and we not only long for the future that is yet unborn. We sit down at the table with family and friends, and we work on the present moment. What does the Pesukim say right after Chodesh Zalachem? Are you already ready, Pasuk Gimel? V'im yimad habayim miyot miser. If there's not enough people in your house to eat a whole sheep, so what should you do? You're only four people. Can't eat a whole lamb. V'la kachu shcheinu hakarav el beiso. Go to your neighbor. Can you share the meal with me? The michsas nefashos, take account. How many souls? Ish kefi ish lefi acho tochosu al asa. Every man what he could eat will be counted for the sa. Sa tamim zachar ba. So it's sa lebeis avo sa labayis. Focus on the family as you sit around the korban pasach. V'lachachu shcheinu hakar v'beiso, and your friend, and you live in the moment. And so, Leil HaSeder is an opportunity to transmit to ourselves, to remind ourselves, and transmit to our children, three dimensions of time in which the Jew lives. It's not telling the story of the past. It's reliving the past. It's longing for what is yet unborn in the future. And it's right now. And time awareness, says Rav Soloveitchik, also contains a moral element. Responsibility for emerging events. Man, according to Judaism, should try to mold and fashion the future. We should try. We can try. With our hishtadlus, our efforts to mold and fashion the future. Man is free to make decisions that will determine his and sometimes even the world future. How do we connect retrospection with anticipation? How do we connect memory with expectation? How do we connect hindsight with foresight? In order to do so, one must cherish the present. I'm going to repeat it. To connect retrospection with anticipation, memory with expectation, hindsight with foresight, one must cherish the present fleeting moment as if it represents eternity. Judaism has a very sensitive approach to the present. No wonder Leil HaSeder is one of the holiest nights of the year. When we sit down and connect all three dimensions of time. And every Thursday I say, how could it be Thursday again? And I can't believe it's almost Adar, and I know the year doesn't start from Adar. And the Torah starts from Nisan, like we just said. And the Rosh Hashanah, I just gave a shiur the other night for New Jersey Congregation or Torah, and I quoted the Mishnah, Rosh Hashanah 1:1. The Rosh Hashanah for the year starts in Tishrei. So I know Adar's not the count of the year where it begins. But for me, it's the beginning of the COVID year. I remember last Purim. Our shul still had a Purim Masiba, and I reached out to the rabbis, and I said, why are we doing this? She said, no, it's okay. Nobody knew anything. We didn't have experience. Well, for me, the beginning of the COVID year is Purim. And it's the year's almost gone. How did it happen? Where did it go? If we don't cherish the present moment and do the best we can right here, right now, then the past becomes archaeology and the future remains inaccessible. Judaism is a very sensitive approach to the present. Every minute is a quote. Every minute is valuable. Every second is precious. With a fraction of a second, one may destroy or realize hopes, visions, and expectations. With a fraction of a second, one may realize or destroy hopes, visions, and expectations. When Rav Aryeh Levin Zatzal, the tzaddik in Jerusalem, would go to visit the prisoners in the days before the state, if you haven't read the book, you should, A Tzaddik in Our Time, I think it's called, by Simcha Raz, the biography of Rav Aryeh Levin, unbelievable, Gadol. And he would go to visit every single Shabbos, the Jewish prisoners interred in the British prisons who were trying to fight for freedom and liberation of the land. And he would always tell them, Yeshua Hashem Keharef Ayin. The salvation of God comes in the blink of an eye, in a fraction of a second. One's life is changed. Hopes may be realized or destroyed. Visions and expectations may come to fruition or not. And therefore the halacha is extremely time conscious, finding the present moment so important. We are such a time-bound people in terms of our calendar. Everything depends on time. For instance, on Friday afternoon, you're permitted to do work till 1 minute before sunset. But you are forbidden 1 minute later. What changed? Why now is it mutter and now it's usser? A person reads Kriya Shema at 9:05 and fulfills the mitzvah. But at 9:06, his performance is worthless. What did he miss? It was the same words, the same recitation, the same commitment, the same dedication. But in a minute, he has not fulfilled the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Whew, time is of critical importance. Not only years and months, but seconds, I'm quoting, and split seconds. Time is of critical importance, not only years and months, but seconds and split seconds. This time awareness and appreciation, and I would bring our show full circle, is the singular gift granted to free man. And that's why it was the first mitzvah our people were given in Egypt. Because before anything else, you have to own your time. Then everything else becomes meaningful and possible. Because now time belongs to him. It is his time, and he can choose to utilize it to the utmost or to waste it. And so there's nothing that symbolizes freedom more than a Chodesh Hazalachem. Today is Rosh Chodesh. Chodesh is from Chadash. Make sure you're not going through the Shana sleeping, Shana. Because before you know it, the Shana's gone. Rav Steinman Zatzal, and with this I will finish, mused about the value of longevity. Is there a question? Rav Steinman mused about the value of longevity. On the one hand, there is value to longevity. You can do more mitzvos. On the other hand, you need to account in the heavenly tribunal for every single second. Remember the Rav said, time is not measured in years and months, but in seconds and split seconds. I always think to myself, what is preferable? A man who lives to an old age and needs to account for every second, or a man who does not, and by extension, has less of an accounting to give? The Ribbono Shel Olam should give us the wisdom to remember how you spell love. Ahavas Hashem, using your time well. Chinuch Habanim, Shalom Bayis, and Ve'ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha. The time is ours, and the choice is ours. HaChodesh is Elochem, Rishon Hu Lachem, the Chodshei Hashana. May the Shir be as Chos, Aliyah Neshama from Malka, Bas Eliyahu Moshe, Alecho Hashalom. And with that, I wish you all a Chodesh Tov and a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you so much, everybody. Yeah.